podcast. Adam.
Jesse. What do we watch, Adam?
We watched all of Kidrich. Have you seen this miniseries?
No. What's that?
It's a HBO miniseries, I think.
Okay.
From 2015, I believe.
Well, we're going back. Okay.
Stars Frances McDormand.
Okay.
Is that her name?
That's a person. That's a person.
Is that the one from the Coen Brothers movies?
Yes.
And who was the guy that was the gym manager in Burn After Reading?
The gym? Richard Jenkins?
Yeah, Richard Jenkins.
Okay.
And I've never watched a show that I was so bored and depressed while watching, but still was anticipating watching the next episode.
Two thumbs up.
Yeah, two thumbs up. Way up.
Wow. But, and you were bored and depressed.
Yeah.
But what kept you? So what is the thing
that I don't know
that kept you going? Nothing.
I can't. Well, no, I didn't say nothing. I just said I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. Like, you know how every show will end you on a cliffhanger because they're afraid that if you don't give somebody a reason to come back for episode two, they're just not going to bother.
Sure, you got to cliffhanger.
This show does the opposite of that. Like, it just ends with like nothing happening.
Okay.
And you're like, and I'm like, why do I want to watch the next episode? But I do. And there's so many shows that they leave you on a, like, they just revealed the gun and they just revealed the person says that actually wasn't my sister. They just give you some reason that you're supposed to be like, oh my God, I got to see the next episode. Whereas this one, they're just like a bird flies through the sky and you're like, oh, that has nothing to do with anything. End credits. You're like, why do I care? Why do I want to watch episode two? But I did. Mm-hmm. It was a very strange thing. It's really boring and depressing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I watched all four episodes, like pretty back to back over two
There's
days.
There's only four episodes?
Yeah.
So do you think part of your reasoning that you kept watching it was because no one's ever talked about it?
No, I don't think it was that. I think it was more that I'm like, well, it's only four episodes.
Yeah,
like it's only four I'm not episodes, I'm not making a commitment for 12 episodes with a show that's going nowhere that you're like, and maybe there's a season two and a season five and a season 28. And you're like, well, is this ever going to get interesting? You're like, they got to wrap it up in four episodes.
Okay.
And the first scene of the first episode is kind of like where her life ends up. So you're like, well, this is going to spread over her. And this is the first time I've ever seen a show where I'm like, the makeup was fantastic. You know, they always do like somebody that's old and the person, sometimes the person will just put the makeup on and then still like run around. You're like, you're supposed to be 90 years old.
Huge muscles and stuff. Yeah.
You're supposed to be 90 and you're still running around. You're still talking in your normal voice.
Yeah.
Like, don't you realize that it's not just the makeup that makes you old? It is everything else about your body and your posture and your voice.
Yeah.
And they don't act that way. They just go, the makeup's on me. But this one, Frances McDormand, she like the makeup was so good in the first scene. I'm like, holy shit, she's old. I didn't realize she was this old.
Yeah.
And then I realized, oh, it's her as an old person in the first scene, and then they go flashback whatever 20, 30 years or something, and then you're like, oh, that's she wasn't that old. There was just makeup, but it really convincing makeup. So I loved it. But I can't give you any reasons to watch it. So it's not a recommendation.
Okay.
Because you could watch it and be like, that sucked, man. I was bored the whole show, but great. Loved it.
Does it end well?
I'm not telling you the ending.
No, but just say, like, do you like where it ended up? Do you think it was worth it now
Yeah,
to see where it ended
absolutely.
up. Okay. That's
Absolutely.
all I wanted. Yeah, I would just want to know the ending.
Yeah, you do. You want to know. Just
I don't
spoil
want to
it.
know the ending.
But I'd never heard of it, and it was on a list of the best miniseries of all times.
Wow,
And it
okay.
was I think AI generates all this stuff and puts it into my news feed for me, and it's just lists. All my news
Yeah,
feed is
a lot of lists.
just lists of the top 10 HBO or top 10 miniseries that nobody's ever heard of. That they always
Yep.
have the title that nobody's ever heard of, or that you totally
Yeah.
forgot, or that
Yeah.
nobody talks about anymore. And I don't know how
Right.
that's ended up just being like the only thing that Google is suggesting to me. I don't know what I've done in the past to make it think.
It does the same to me, and I don't know why. Like I guess these people, I don't know. I don't know what it's doing. Maybe it thinks it's going to drive more hits because it's talking about things that people want to discover. Because I guess people are always looking for new TV shows to watch.
Are they? I don't know. I don't know
I
what
think
people are
so.
like.
I
I
think so.
know.
Well, they know people are going to watch the big TV shows that are out there, but they want to also get they don't, I don't think they care if you watch the show, whoever's making these lists. They care that you're going and reading that article.
Yeah, and for me, it's don't tell me you don't know me. That's how I respond to the lists. I go, yeah, don't tell me that. I bet you I've heard of every one of them. And then I look at them and I'm like, yeah, I've heard of 7 out of 10 of these.
Yeah.
So that was why I'd never heard of it, and it was on this list. So I'm like, I wonder why they're calling it so good. So I went and watched it, and it was good.
It was
She
good.
deserves every award imaginable for her acting role in this Olive Kitteridge TV show.
Hopefully. Oh, it's called Olive Kittredge.
What did I say?
I thought you just said Kittredge.
Maybe I did.
Okay, I've definitely heard of Olive Kittredge, but I've never
Yeah,
watched it.
okay. All right.
I've
I
not
knew
watched it.
you couldn't let it go. You couldn't
Well,
just
you
say
said first you just
no.
said Kittredge, and then you said Olive Kittredge, and I was like, oh, that rings a bell. I've heard of
Oh,
it,
yeah, just a
never
few
thought
minutes
about
ago
watching it.
when I first said it.
You just said Kittredge before.
I'll go back and listen. I might have.
Okay, I heard Kittredge. I didn't hear Olive Kittredge.
Okay.
But thank you for recommending it. I completely forgotten about it.
No, okay.
Never thought about watching it. So
Someday
thank you.
I'll say something that you just go, nope, never heard of it.
I
Doubt it.
said there's go back and listen. There's been 1,000 things.
Okay.
I've heard of a lot of things, some things I haven't heard of. I had never heard of the movie Boost before I picked up the DVD. So there you go.
Right
One of
on.
the movies on our show.
All
The
right.
second best movie ever made about people getting in trouble with real estate.
What's the first?
The Big Short, the other movie that we watched.
Yeah.
The reason that Anchorman 2 exists is The Big Short.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Adam McKay was given the deal that if he made Anchorman 2, he was allowed to make The Big Short.
Really? It's
And he took it.
a good deal.
It's a great deal. Because we got The Big Short, not because we got Anchorman 2. But Adam McKay got paid. At
That's
least
good.
off Anchorman 2, probably not off The Big Short. But he did win an Oscar for The Big Short. So there you go. Had you seen this movie before?
The Big Short? Yeah,
The
many
Big
times.
Short? You've seen it many times. I'd never seen it, and I was very interested back at the time about the subprime mortgage crisis. And I thought The Big Short was about something else.
Yeah.
So I never watched it, even though it was about something that at one point I was very interested in, just because of the stuff they talk about in the movie, just betting against people's mortgages. That whole thing of and the way that they did it with the the crazy scheme of everything becomes at some point becomes the highest rated bundle of mortgages just because there's nothing left at the top. They just keep bumping it up. It's just the most corrupt, insane thing that I've ever heard of. And they did it, and it worked for a long time. And that's why I love this movie, because it does a great job of explaining all that.
Okay.
And you don't realize it because you're like, oh, look at the this is fun. But all they're doing is talking about mortgage stuff.
All right, so are you just like let's start explaining something. Start talking about the movie.
I was I hadn't watched this movie because I thought it was just about like stock trading, like in general.
Okay.
Somebody figured something out how to trade this stuff, whatever.
Well,
Doesn't matter what
why?
I thought it was about.
Yeah, it does. I'm curious why you hadn't watched it in 10 years. I didn't know why. Or wait, when did it come? Yeah, it's 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, 10 years. I just thought it was about like a generic movie about like a Wall Street.
But why does that turn you off? You've seen Wall Street 1,000 times, and you've seen the sequel to Wall Street. Well, why does it turn you off?
No, it didn't turn me off. I was going to watch it, but I had no urgency.
Well,
I
it's
was going to
been
watch it eventually.
10 years, though.
I have DVDs I haven't watched for 20 years.
That doesn't explain anything. There must have been a reason that you sat down and you watched Wall Street 2 instead of The Big Short.
Because I just had not even thought of it since I bought the DVD, probably. It had just been sitting on my shelf. I never thought of watching it. And it's weird that like nobody really talks about it now.
Oh, see,
Like
I
I
just like it's like people talk about it so much. That's why I'm still just
Okay.
confused at why you never bothered to watch it with so many discussions about it.
Apparently not in the news channels that I subscribe to because I never hear about this movie anymore.
Okay.
I've heard about a lot of movies. Even when the GameStop movie came out, you would think that they would talk about this movie a lot more, but I don't think they did.
Okay.
And I'm poor for not having seen it sooner.
Yeah, no, I just thought there'd be some kind of a reason behind it. Like I can tell you movies that I go, should I watch that movie? And then I think, ah, fuck no, I don't want to have to slog through that thing. It's gonna piss me off. It's gonna bother me. It's about subject matter I don't care about. Lots of times I only watch them because you've said we're watching that and we're going to talk about it next week. So then I'm forced to sit down and do it. But if I had it myself, I'd probably just go watch Anchorman 2 again.
For the 10th time. How many times have you seen Anchorman 2?
Once. If that, I'm pretty sure I must have seen it.
Okay. Yeah, it's bad. It's bad. They cut out all the best stuff as well. If you had the DVD, you would see all these like crazy musical sequences and stuff that they just cut out of the movie that were
Okay.
awesome.
But Big Short.
Big Short. Amazing film.
All right. Something specific.
So when the subprime mortgage crisis was happening, they were writing a lot of articles, and I was reading them in Rolling Stone about a lot of it's just explaining because nobody understood how the housing crisis happened. How what is it? 8 million people lost their jobs, and some trillions of dollars worth of capital was wiped out almost instantly. Over a few months, I forget, I had the number. $5 trillion disappeared from the economy. And it was interesting because when you think of having a mortgage, you think, oh, okay, I have a mortgage, and if I don't pay it, then somebody else takes my house. And that's all that happens, right? That's what you think, but then you learn that there's, like they say in the movie, there's people betting on your mortgage. There's people betting on your mortgage to fail. There's other people betting on those people betting on the mortgage and people betting on those people. And all of a sudden, there's on your mortgage of $200,000 or whatever, there's $50 million worth of bets on that one mortgage, let's
Right.
say. I'm sure it's not that much, but you never think that there's a reason for people to do this. Other than just to get money. But in reality, they're messing with maybe not so much your life, because if you pay your mortgage, you should be okay. But they're messing with all these other people's lives by, number one, the people are giving you this mortgage that you don't deserve if you don't make any money or you have terrible credit and you're not going to pay. And then right up to the top, the big banks that are putting billions of dollars into these funds that have these packages of credit default swaps and things in them.
Okay, so do you feel like you really understand it?
I feel like I understand it on a basic level.
Okay.
Why do you feel like you understand it?
No, not really. If I was going to say that I understood it, I would have to tell you exactly how all this stuff works, and I don't know. So
Yeah.
you're talking about all these different things, credit swaps and funds and all these things. So, like, explain to me what you think took place.
Okay.
On the basic level.
Basic level. So I go in to get a mortgage.
Yes.
I don't have a job.
Well,
Okay.
just forget that part. Just tell me.
Well, no, but this is part of it. Why stop me?
Okay.
I go in to get a mortgage and I don't have a job. They give me a mortgage and it has an adjustable rate. I may or may not be paying that for a while, but then the adjustable rate kicks in and now I owe way too much. I default on my mortgage.
Okay.
My mortgage and a bunch of other people's shitty mortgages have all been bought up by banks.
What does that mean? Bought up by banks. What does that mean?
So they'll buy a mortgage off of whoever holds it. So let's say I my little bank that I went to, they hold that mortgage, right? And then a larger bank buys that mortgage.
They buy the mortgage. So who do you owe money to?
Technically, you owe money to whoever bought that. You may not pay that person, but somebody else may be paying it on, like, your bank may be paying it on your behalf. That anyway, that doesn't matter.
That
So,
does matter. That's the part that I don't understand.
okay, right. So somebody buys, like, okay, so there's a lot of people when it happened that they didn't even know who had their mortgage. Because they thought whatever TD Bank had their mortgage, but it was Bear Stearns that had their mortgage, really. So
Okay,
anyway,
so
your bank sells the mortgage to another bank
why?
to make money.
To make money. So how did they make money? Let's
That
just use a
bank's
real number. Let's say you get a mortgage for $1 million and it's a 5% interest rate over the next 25 years.
right.
Okay.
So then your bank sells that mortgage.
So
They
you
say
Well,
you're.
your bank had to literally hand $1 million to the person that sold it. So the
Your
bank.
bank had to hand $1 million. What do you mean?
So when the sale took place, I went out and said, I'm going to buy that home. And the guy that's selling it said, I want $1 million for the home. And then I went to the bank, my bank, and I said, I need $1 million to buy that home over there. And my bank said, sure, here's the $1 million. They wrote a check for $1 million and they handed that over to the seller. Yep.
So then the bank, then you owe that bank $1 million, right?
Right.
So then that bank sells your mortgage to another bank
Why are they doing that?
because then there's no risk.
Well, then they don't. How do they make any money then if they sold my
Well, they
mortgage?
sell it obviously for more than they they make money on it. I don't know. They sell it for more than they bought it for, whatever it is. I don't know exactly.
Well, that's the
Okay,
part that I get stuck
I don't
on.
have all the. Okay, they sell it. It doesn't matter. Let's say they keep it. Okay,
Okay.
whatever. Let's say they keep it and they have a bunch of mortgages, right? And they have a bunch of shitty mortgages from people who don't have jobs, people who have jobs that can't pay for the mortgage, people who don't have steady income, right? They have these. Then they package them up, and this package is supposed to be a bunch of good mortgages because all the good mortgages are already sold. So then instead of rating these mortgages, whatever it is, B or whatever it is, now they're rated AAA or whatever the best rating is. So now people buy these, and then other people can bet on that more on that bundle of mortgages to succeed or fail. So you put it in a hedge fund or whatever it is, and you may own all these mortgages, and some people are betting on them to succeed, the people who own them, and then there's other people betting on those to fail. Those are, I think, the credit default swaps. So then what's supposed to happen is that everybody pays their mortgage and everybody makes money, except for the people betting against them. But what really happened was these people saw that all these mortgages were terrible. Like Christian Bale's character went through all these mortgages, saw that they were terrible, and then started betting against them. So because he was betting against them and they still got better, he was losing all this money, or he was paying all these fees or something. But then eventually, when they tanked, he made all this money because he bet against them. And that's what basically all of the people who are, I don't want to call them the heroes of the movie, but the main characters of the movie, that's basically what they were all doing. Is one way or another, they figured out that there was a housing bubble. And if they bet against the housing market, then they would win.
Right.
And
Good.
it was, it, and it's interesting, I think, the movie, because they're all doing the same thing. And it's not like one of the main characters is doing one thing and one of the main characters is doing the opposite. And it really must have been difficult to make it work with them all just doing little variations on a theme, which is kind of cool, is that you see, instead of this one person doing 15 different things, it's like five groups of people doing three different things. And you see those things in the movie.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you liked it. It's about time you watched it.
It is.
I think they obviously did a really good job at explaining to you enough for you to go, I get it, and sound confident. Like, I love your confidence of like, oh, I totally get how it works. Whereas even in the movie, they're saying like nobody understands how any of this shit works. And either it might be fraud or it might be a lot of idiots that don't know what the hell they're doing. And I get lost with the very first thing of like, okay, so it's a bond. So what's a bond? A bond is a safe investment. And people, so the whole thing was built on this. Well, these are safe investments, so it's a safe place to put your money. But I don't get how the money is changing hands, and I don't even get how when it loses, you get paid. When people stop paying their money, you get to make money. Like, where does this money come from? Who comes up with the money to pay out the people that are losing? Like, it's all too mind-boggling to me. And they make a point of saying, yeah, it's confusing on purpose. Don't do you f I think there's a point where, who's the narrator? Famous Gosling, right? He
Ryan
says
Gosling.
something like, do you feel dumb when we start talking about the money and the terms and the this and the that? Do you feel stupid? Do you feel bored? Does your mind start to drift? Well, exactly. They do that on purpose. They make it sound like that on purpose so that you feel like it's too complicated for you to understand, and that obviously you need a Wall Street genius who understands this language to interpret it for you. And that's the part that I'm like, yeah, you're right. They're all it is a big conspiracy. They're all part of it, and they're all trying to trick you that it's too complicated for you to understand when it's not. And you threw out a word there that you felt comfortable using, hedge fund. I don't know what the fuck a hedge fund is. And so they talk about like global equity investment hedge funds that are fully capped and marketable, and they insolvent, deferred, all these crazy terms. And it's like, what are we really talking about here? We're talking about numbers that go up or down. Why are you using all this language? And it's to make people like me feel dumb so that we go, God, there's too much to this world. I don't understand any of it. And yeah, that's I'm glad that you felt confident so that you could
I
enjoy
don't
the
feel
movie.
confident. I don't feel confident that I know absolutely everything that they're talking about, but I think you get a few main pillars from the movie. One, people are artificially inflating the value of things. They're artificially inflating the value of the mortgages. Two, people are betting on the mortgages to succeed or against the mortgages to fail. And I'm pretty sure the people who own the mortgages, like the big banks, are the ones who are paying the people who are betting against them. Because I think what you're doing is you're essentially saying, I think that these mortgages that you're holding are going to fail. So I'm going to buy a bet against them. And then when they go up, I have to pay you. But when they go down, you have to pay me.
Yeah. Okay.
I believe that's how that part of it works. The who's paying who.
Who's paying who?
Yeah.
Where
So,
does that money come from?
where does which money come from?
The money that when the mortgage fails,
Right.
that means that somebody stopped paying for their house.
Right.
So where does the money appear to be able to pay that guy who's now it's worth more for that
From the
person?
big banks.
But where does
Like,
it appear from?
well, because they make money. So they made money. So when the value was going up, they made the money off of it, right? And when the value goes down, if somebody calls in that bet, essentially, they have to pay that money. So they're obviously that's not the only thing that they're doing, right? I don't know all the components of what banks are doing, those kind of banks. They're investing in these things and those things. So theoretically, if I make $50 million because I bet against something, that should be easy for them to pay.
Okay. Sure.
Theoretically, right? Unless they have no money and they can't pay anything. That's why I think Steve Carell at the end, I think it was Jeremy Strong called him and he's like, you got to sell this now or else there won't be any money
Right.
because essentially there won't be a bank left to pay you.
Right. Yeah, that's what I took away from it as well, is that they were getting close to the point that the person that's supposed to pay them, the entity that's supposed to pay them, won't exist. So then they'll be just another person lined up with a bankruptcy claim, and they'll never get paid. And the government fortunately came in and bailed all these banks out so that they
That
could
crazy
afford
stuff.
to pay everything that they had to pay and keep.
Or probably just not pay it. They probably just didn't pay some of the stuff from somehow. Who knows?
You've just introduced a new, I don't know what we're talking about now. Like, what
Oh, I'm
didn't
just
they
saying, I'm
pay?
just taking a cynical position that the banks were probably found some way not to pay these people. Like they gave themselves these crazy bonuses. But maybe they went bankrupt and then they said they didn't have to pay, and then I don't know, whatever it was. But that's the twist of the whole story, is that Ryan Gosling says, oh, everybody got arrested and they redid all the banks, and he's like, no, nah, I'm just joking.
Yeah, that's funny.
That's awesome. Because you think, like, oh, this is supposed to be a movie about how these people bet on the apocalypse and they were right. And that it made change for the good. And essentially it didn't. It didn't do anything except a lot of good people lost their jobs. A lot of the people in the banking industry lost their jobs. And then some of these guys got really rich. And some of the people who should have lost their jobs got even more rich.
No, it's a great movie, and I think they were very smart in the way that they did it. And this is actually something that bothered me. I didn't like it when they start to explain the technical shit that I want to understand. Like, first of all, you talk about a bond. Everybody goes, oh, okay, bond. I don't know what a bond is. So you got to explain to me what a bond. You can do it quickly. You don't need to dwell on it, but explain to me what a bond is very simply so that I can grasp that concept and then move on. They don't bother to explain a lot of that shit. And then when they do start to get a little technical, they go, okay, I get it. You're bored. You're about to walk out of the theater. Here's Margot Robbie in a bubble bath explaining how it works. And then they do weird cuts and stuff with her. And she's like, look, whenever you hear some term, think shit. That's all you got to do for the rest of the movie. And I think most of the audience went, great, thank you, thank God. And then they continued to watch the movie. Whereas I was like, well, that was a bit, what's the term? It's a bit insulting to me that I can't follow this. And I remember explaining this to somebody, explaining the movie to somebody, and telling him how I didn't like that part of it. When they start to talk about technical shit, and then they cut away to Margot Robbie in a bubble bath to explain it to you like you're a fucking moron. And it was funny because this is a guy that works in the finance world. He's a guy that, like, one of these people that sells, like, insurance and mutual funds. A financial planner, I think, is his would be his ter his title. I figured for sure he'd be on board with me, and he'd be like, yeah, that's a bit pander. Is it pandering? Is that the word I'm looking for?
I think pandering maybe, yeah.
All right.
Not
So
yeah, think maybe.
I thought that he'd be on my side, and he was drifting as I was explaining this thing to him. His mind started to wander, and then when I got to the part and said, and then they cut to Margot Robbie in a bubble bath, he goes, "Wait, what?" And I was like, "Are you joking? Are you just trying to? Are you trolling me?" And he was like, "Wait, what? Now I'm interested." He literally said those words. He's like, "Now I'm interested. Tell me more about this movie." Even he was bored by it, and that's his business, his livelihood. And even he was bored by the technical talk about, like, fucking the financial, the way they do these AAA certified bonds that hold mortgages. I thought that was hilarious that he was like, I was out, but now I'm in because you just told me that Margot Robbie's in a bubble bath in this movie.
So, do you think it would have been a better movie if they had have kept some of the addresses to camera with her, Selena Gomez, Ryan Gosling does it sometimes? Do you think it would have been better or worse if they had have taken that out?
It depends on your definition of better or worse. Like, are we talking, would it have been more successful? No, it would have been less successful if they had have explained it with technical terms instead of just cutting away to Selena Gomez. It would have done worse. I would have appreciated it more. I like to learn a thing or two, and it doesn't bother me to have to stop. Like, I want to understand how this actually works. And you could have just thrown it a couple percentages. Like, to me, okay. The way that it would work would be you'd get a mortgage from the bank. The bank's gonna earn 5% of your $1 million over the next 25 years, 5% every year. So they're gonna earn $50,000 in interest every year for the next 25 years from you, which you can say would be, what's that, $12.5 million? Is that right? In interest. So that's all profit to them. They only shelled out $1 million today. No, I must be wrong on that. Is that right?
That sounds like a lot of interest.
12 and a half million. No, I was thinking 25 years, half of the, I think it's like 1.5 million instead of whatever.
That sounds, I don't think I pay $50,000 of interest a year.
No, 50,000 was right. 50,000, 5% of $1 million.
Okay.
Dude, 10% is 100,000, right? Half of that
Yes.
is 50,000. That's how much interest you pay on a $1 million loan every year. So now
Really?
multiply that. Yeah, grab a
Holy
calculator
shit. That's insane. Okay, go
and
ahead.
well, do that and then go, okay, over the next 5 years, it's $250,000 in interest in the first 5 years of your 25-year mortgage.
Wow.
$1 million in 5 years, the bank will have profited $250,000. So what they then do is they go, we're going to earn this much income. And it's a pretty safe thing because it's a mortgage. So we know this guy's going to keep paying his mortgage, or we're going to kick him out of the house and we're going to turn around and sell it to somebody else. So we don't lose anything. We'll
Yeah.
actually just gain. It's just positive for us because most people pay their mortgages. So we've got $250,000 of income. I think what they then do is then they package it. I don't know about this. You're saying they sell it to somebody else. I don't know about that, but I think they say you can invest in a bond that we're saying, where we know that we've got $250,000 coming into us. So go ahead and invest $100,000 into our bond, which is
Okay.
backed by the income coming in from all these people paying their mortgages.
Okay.
And we're only going to give you 1% growth on your $100,000 because we know we're going to make so much money over the next 5 years. What do you think about that? Do you think I'm crazy, or do you think it makes more sense the way I just explained it?
I think between the two of us, we're right. But I know for sure that I read in one of these Rolling Stone articles that these banks are actually selling the mortgages because people couldn't figure out who holds their mortgage
Okay.
when they defaulted on their house and they tried to get it back or whatever happened. It had been sold three or four different times.
Yeah.
So I think between the two of us, I think we have it there. Like, I think you're right with the bond thing, but I think the bond happens later from the larger banks. When they take over these mortgages, then they do the bond. And those are backed by, like you said, the people paying into their mortgages.
Well,
And
we're
go
probably
ahead.
not going to get to the bottom of it because we don't know enough about it. But to
Probably.
me, you can't just money can't just appear. So you've got to start with that initial thing of like, how much are we going to make from our mortgage that we just loaned out? We're going to make $250,000 from this one guy over the next 5 years. Now we've got that $250 of probably guaranteed income that's coming into us. Now what can we do with that money? We can loan it out again, basically, and make more interest on our safe thing. And what ends up happening is, yeah, when the first guy stops paying his income, you don't have any of that income coming in. Now you can't keep paying out all the income. You've reloaned all that money, and it's a house of Jenga.
Jengus. Nice. Bring it back to that was a great illustration in the movie as well. I like that they did some of those things to make it even easier for us idiots to understand.
And it really is a good analogy if you think of it. It's all built on that one thing of like the guy paying his bill, especially when the people were buying their second and third and fourth homes as an investment. It wasn't their primary living quarters, so they weren't that worried about losing the mortgage, defaulting on their payments, and losing their homes. Because it wasn't their primary. So those ones were quickly, and maybe those are the triple B ones and the triple C or the C and the D ones. I don't know how they classify that stuff, but the ones that are primary people, they're more likely to pay them. And so they're less likely to default on those. But it's when the the lenders were just going crazy, lending it to people that couldn't support their income, lending it to dogs, lending it to anybody that somebody looked at that and went, holy, people are gonna not be able to pay this as soon as interest rates go up a little bit.
Yeah, that guy who talks about the ninjas, no income, no job.
Yeah.
I was like, and he's giving these people mortgages, but he doesn't care because they're not going to own them. They say like these guys come in and buy the mortgages a day later. So
Well, the
why do I
guy,
care?
I think the guy, are you talking about the Asian guy that was eating sushi?
No, the mortgage brokers, the Max Greenfield, and the other guy, when they go to Florida and they're talking to the two guys and they're asking them sort of, why are you giving these people mortgages? And they're like, well, because somebody else just comes and buys it the next day. We don't have to worry about it.
Yeah. Yeah, again, I'm stuck on the buys it. I don't understand. I guess it's a way of laying off all of your risk. So you loan out some money that you're gonna profit on, and then you accept a smaller amount of profit to assume no risk by selling it to somebody else.
I would imagine, yes.
Okay.
You get some kind of, yeah, like instant profit. You don't have to wait for your $1 million. You get your 200,000 now
Yeah.
and no risk.
So yeah, I thought you were talking about the Asian guy, because at the end he was like, I don't assume any liability for anything that I do. So that was he was like, I can do whatever I want as long as I'm making these sales, because it doesn't I don't there's no risk to me at all. I get paid.
Yeah. That was what a lot of it I apparently was. There was just they just built the system and rigged it so there was no way that they could lose,
Yeah.
which is crazy because it
Crazy.
was all just like you said, money doesn't come out of nowhere and people lost that money. And it was nuts. And it taught nobody any lessons.
Well, the interesting thing is at the end when they talk about the money disappearing, I look at it as the value disappeared, not the there was no money. It was all just theoretical money over the next 25 years that people were going to make in profit as long as people kept working and being able to shell off a big percentage of their income to all these people that were owed money. And then when all this collapsed and everything fell apart, it was the value that had been assigned to all this was $5 trillion or something. That disappeared because the value was fake. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing. Is it like some of these guys talk about the two guys who are kind of like on their own and they at the first they're trying to get the ISDA or whatever, and the guy's like, you're up 1.47 billion short or
Yeah.
something. Like those two guys have $30 million
Yeah, I know.
on paper, and I'm like, you, why are you still doing
That's
this?
exactly what I thought, yeah.
But they probably don't have that money in a bank account. It's probably tied up in this thing or that thing. And like, that's the kind of thing that drives me crazy
I would
is
guess
that.
it's other people's money. So yes, they've turned. But they do say that they turned $110,000 that he earned himself doing something with boats, and they turned it into 30 million. And so, like, so doesn't it sound like he took his own money and turned it into 30 million? It sounds like that. So why haven't they just cashed out and lived comfortably for the rest of their life?
That's what I was thinking. Once I get like enough money to live, I'm not gonna work anymore or do anything.
Yeah, you're not going to try to risk it all to earn another $1 billion. I mean, some people would, I guess, but I wouldn't either. I'd be like, okay, I've got my 30 million, I'm done. Whereas Michael Burry, or yeah, it's Michael Burry, right?
I think it's like Bury or something like
Burry,
that.
yeah, it could be Doctor something. he was playing with other people's money.
Yeah.
So that was clear that like he couldn't just do whatever he wanted with the money. He was earning it for other people, investors.
That's amazing that like Tracy Letts' character, the guy who he reports to or who gives him all the money, he has like $1.5 billion of his dollars, and then the people who are investing in him, they're paying like $1.3 billion to it to invest or something like that. Like it's just crazy that a guy that has this much money around him until the very end of the movie had like actually whatever, I'm sure he had some money, but he didn't have that money. And then at the end he gets what, like $500 billion or something crazy, or $400 million or something crazy like that.
Well, I was trying to pay attention to the math on that because he took 1.3 billion and invested it into this scheme that he invented, which was betting on the housing market to fail. He invented all those credit swaps and all the stuff, like the basically short. He invented all the short on the bonds that were backing these AAA certified things. And then they talk about how much has he actually got, and they only talk about 600 million in the portfolio. So we only so I didn't understand what was happening there, and they kept showing like it's down 3%, it's down 5%, it's down 19%. And then at the end, he's up 489%. And they paid him something like $2.4 billion. And I was trying to figure it out. I'm like, so the actual 600 million went up to 2.4 billion. So it was this. I did not. I don't. I lose track of where whose money is this? Where is it coming from? It's
I
very
think he
confusing.
made like $1 billion or something.
Okay.
Like his firm. Because I think he had up to like 1.3 billion at one time, but then they were paying, he was paying like, what was it, $30 million a month or something in fees because his bet kept getting worse, because it kept the market kept going up instead of down.
Yeah, they were
So I'm
paying the
sure he,
fees, and the real money was coming from that $600 million portfolio that he controlled.
yes. Something like that.
And they
But
had to keep selling shares to pay the fees.
yeah, he kept
So they
having
had.
to sell other things to pay the fees. Yeah. And
Yeah.
then I'm sure he eventually got $1 billion or some fucking crazy thing like that. But yeah, it's just, it's in, I always find it interesting to look at lives of people who we have no concept of really. Of what they do and how they do it and what things mean to them. Like, I couldn't imagine dealing with numbers in the billions.
No.
It's unfathomable to me that there's these billions of dollars floating around and maybe I'm getting $100,000 a year or whatever. But I'm controlling all this money, and then one day you could either lose everything, or like Ryan Gosling got a check for $47 million in a bonus. Like that's crazy.
It is.
That it could be just one day somebody could give you a $47 million check.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So
Amazing.
it's great, and I think one of the things that I liked the most about this movie is that there was no star of the movie. It was all supporting actors. Obviously, there were movie stars in it, but they made it in such a way that nobody took over the movie.
Yeah.
And it gave a good balance, because you weren't supposed to be really rooting for any of them. Because there was one, nobody who was better than anybody else or in a better moral position than anybody else. But they did give you a lot of movie stars and talented actors to fill out the roles, so you were never bored, I guess. Because you have to really look at a magnetic person telling you all this stuff you don't understand to keep invested in the movie.
I
Like if it was
think
all unknowns, you'd be like, I don't want to watch this fucking movie.
I feel like they did try to make some of the characters sort of heroes. And then in reality, you really do have to stop and think they were just like everybody else. They were just betting a different way, but they're the same as everybody else. But they tried to, at the very end, Steve Carell's character looked like he's in a position of like he's torn. He's like, the second we sell all this, we're just like everybody else. And it's like, yeah, okay, maybe he's a bit of a hero, but not really, because the only reason you'd be holding out longer is because you thought it could go lower before you actually sold. So he's really just looking for the bottom. He's not a hero, but they had to, I guess they had to make the characters, you root for them a little bit.
Yeah, and it's not like Steve Carell's character or Christian Bale's character or any of those guys. They're not trying to fix it and like close these loopholes until the end of the movie, until they've all made their money. They're not out there going like, "Oh, you guys shouldn't be doing this. We should tell somebody, and nobody should take these positions of betting on other people's failure." They're like, "Yeah, we're just gonna buy more of this stuff and then tell people how bad it is."
But you couldn't have a movie. A lot of the Empire podcast stuff, there's this one guy that just he's always like, I didn't have any characters that I could root for. I didn't have any likable characters in this TV show or movie or whatever. So I didn't like the movie. And it's like, well, I guess if you're going to make a movie, you got to give some of the audience somebody to root for. So they made it Steve Carell, they made it Brad Pitt, where you're kind of seeing them as the hero. And it's like, they're not really. They were, if you looked at it from a different point of view, they were just parasites. They're like, we're going to profit when everybody else loses. And they just saw a different way to come in.
And I think they trick you into thinking that they're the heroes because they are Brad Pitt and Steve Carell and Christian Bale. That if other people were in the roles, you wouldn't think that they were the heroes. If John Malkovich was one of these guys or whoever it was that weren't so likable, you'd be like, ah, this guy seems like an asshole. Like all Steve Carell does is just yell at people in the whole movie and just say things to people that you would never say. And he's one of the heroes of the movie.
Even though, in reality, they're not heroes in any way.
No, not at
No.
all.
But good. I'm
Thank
glad
you
you liked
for thank you for having us do the movie. I'm glad I finally saw it.
it.
I'm gonna watch it again soon, probably.
Wow, you loved it.
I did. It was fantastic.
I'm going to tell you about something to get back onto my favorite subject. Have you heard of the show Your Friends and Neighbors?
With John Hamm? Yes, I've heard of it.
Okay, you haven't seen any episodes?
No.
All right. Well, if you watch it, the
Okay.
opening title sequence is kind of unique, sort of, where they show him walking around and then all these things will explode. Like if he's walking by a car, like a fancy car, like the car will blow up behind him in different pieces. And I heard somebody on a podcast talking about this, and they go, I like the show, but the opening credits is too AI. That's what they said. It's a little too AI for me, and I don't like it because it's a little too AI. Almost as in like they're taking people's jobs kind of way. It's a little too AI for me. And I was like, do people like this isn't Now they're just, whenever they see something, they're like, it's an AI. Like, what proof do they have that AI made this title sequence and not a bunch of graphic designers? They have no proof.
Probably not, no.
But they're just, now when they see things that are weird looking, they're like, well, that's AI. Like, people don't know how to define it or what it does. It's just this magical thing. And they're like, well, it's bad. But they don't really know why it's bad. That's
Yeah,
all.
it's it, it I don't understand why they think it's bad. Like, if you and I went to make a movie, or let's say we went to make that show, and we wanted to have cars exploding and stuff, we would have to do it in AI. We don't
Yes.
have money,
Right.
right? But they think because Apple has money, they're not allowed to use AI.
Well, and maybe, yes, and maybe, and how do they know that it wasn't just a bunch of people in a room?
Yeah, exactly.
People have been doing special effects for many years. So now when they see special effects, they're like, oh, that's a little too AI for me. Like, what? I just don't understand how people are, how their brains work. I don't get. People are connecting dots that I'm like, where, how do you know those dots connect?
I think they like to talk about controversial subjects, but they have to have their, they want to put these things into everything, but they also, they don't know. So they have to, whenever they talk about something, they have to talk about AI.
Yeah.
But they, yeah, they don't know, or I don't know, maybe they heard, it's possible he could have heard it was done by AI. I don't know.
Yeah. All right. That
But
was
yeah,
it.
you,
Pissed me off.
it's, some of it's impossible to tell. Like, there's a lot of videos that you see and they turn out to be AI, and you're like, I never would have guessed that. So how would the guy know?
He wouldn't know, and that's why I'm like, why would you make an assumption to then say that you dislike something when you don't know anything about it?
Yeah.
I don't know. People are weird. It's just as it's this new term that nobody's bothering to understand. They just like to take a position on something. It's just like I have an opinion. There shouldn't be AI in schools because it's going to harm our kids' brains. And they just like to take a stance on something they don't know anything about. I find that strange that people do that. I try
I
not to do
guess
that.
if podcasting is your job, there's probably a bit more of a pull to do that.
This wasn't a podcaster. This was a caller.
Oh.
This was a
Oh,
guy that just
okay.
saw the TV show and then called in with that opinion.
Oh, okay. I thought it was one of the podcast guys.
No.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that guy, there's no reason then.
He doesn't know anything.
Like, I could see if you're a podcaster and you got to fill 4 or 5 hours a week or whatever, and you want people to listen, so you got to be the authority on this, and you got to have these opinions. And but yeah, if you're just a guy calling in,
This was a segment on the podcast where they just talk about like shows that's or like TV shows like but it had nothing to do with he just
yeah.
threw in the comment of like I like the show but the one thing I don't like is the opening credits are a bit too AI for me and it's like what do you how do you keep your opinions to yourself you moron.
Do you think people maybe don't know the difference between AI and CG?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's probably, yeah, people just think now everything that's computer generated is AI.
Yes, yeah, that's it. They don't know the difference between those two letters. They don't know what AI stands for, and they don't know what CG stands for. And so therefore they're just mad when they see things. It's very strange to me.
Yeah, it
Okay.
is. Yeah, just enjoy the shows.
Where, what else you want to talk about? Anything else with the Big Short?
I don't think so. I think we move on to Boost.
All right.
A not a great movie.
No.
Way too preachy about drugs. But it does a good job, I think, showing the guy's progression from being a good guy. And then the one thing that I did like is at the first, he meets this guy and it's like a case of mistaken identity, and he takes him to his house for dinner to meet his wife. And the whole time I'm thinking, what angle is this guy playing?
Yeah, me too.
What's he trying to do with this guy? What is he's trying to sell him something.
Right.
But then he doesn't. And you're like, okay. And then he goes and he tries to get a job selling these units at a mall or something, and he meets the other guy, and the other guy gives him a job, and he gives him a house, and he gives him a car, and you're like, what's this guy doing? What's this guy trying to do to James Woods? We know James Woods is good now. He passed the test. This guy's got to be out to fuck him somehow. You don't give a guy all this stuff, but then that guy's good. And you're like, that's really interesting. And then they bring in the drugs, and the drugs screw everything up. And you're like, wow, they went way out of their way to be like, this guy had a great thing going. He was a nice guy. He worked for a nice guy. He had everything. The only real problem was he spent too much money, probably because he'd never had money before, and then the drugs take him down. And I was like, it's way too heavy-handed, but I really like the fact that you keep looking for people to be the problem. And they're almost the whole time the people aren't the problem until they get drugs.
Yeah, you like that, didn't you? You like that.
Why I like that especially.
'Cause drugs are for losers, as you
Drugs are
always
for
said.
losers.
And you're like,
That
here's finally a movie that's like
finally, first movie ever that says drugs are for losers. Yeah. It's the least subtle movie ever. But there's a lot of movies like that. Requiem for a Dream. Maybe not exactly like that. They don't, but I like the fact that they go through the progression of this guy's rise and downfall.
What didn't you like about the movie?
It was just done kind of in a haphazard way of they introduce the cocaine and he can't handle it, and then everything goes wrong and everything just keeps going wrong. And it seems like this is like a lot of this is happening over a period of years, but it just seems to be happening too fast in the movie for me. And I don't like the whole thing with his wife falling down the stairs because they made a pregnant woman do cocaine. That was like the worst peer pressure ever. I don't know. It's a little bit too. It's a little bit too ham-fisted, a little bit too obvious.
What'd you think of the acting?
I always think James Woods is good. He's always really, I guess, believable. He's got a good range of being a nor he's like a normal guy in this movie, and then obviously he becomes like a drug addict, and he's got like a bit of an edge, but I liked him in this movie. I like Sean Young. She was good in the movie, his wife. But yeah, it's a little bit over the top, the whole thing. What did you think about it? Other than obviously you didn't like it very much.
I thought the acting was fucking horrible. Terrible. Every
From James
line,
Woods?
yes. Every line he delivered, every line she delivered. I'm like, I don't know to blame them or to blame the writing. I'm not sure, but it seemed terrible to me. Like the acting was so bad that I'm like, how did he keep working after this? How did James Woods keep getting work if he's this bad of an actor? That's my opinion.
I don't think he got a lot of starring roles after this. He wasn't the biggest movie star. I don't know. I thought he was good in the movie. I thought the rest of the movie, the script, the direction, everything else was bad, but I thought the acting was pretty good, except the blonde woman was terrible. She was playing the worst human being ever and just delivering her lines flat. The other guy, not great. His coke friend, not great. But I don't know. I like James Woods. I thought he was good in this movie.
Yeah, I didn't. I thought they were terrible.
That's okay. What else do you think about the movie?
Did you know it was based on a book written by Ben Stein?
I read about that yet on IMDb.
What else did you read about?
What else did I read about on IMDb? That's the only thing I wrote down, written by
Wow.
Ben Stein.
Amazing.
No, I
The
mean
one
from
thing that I say, and you're like, yeah, I already knew that. And then I'm like, tell me something else. And you're like, I don't know anything else.
IMDb, that's the only thing I wrote down. I think this was basically self-financed by or independently financed by James Woods and the director, I forget his name, because nobody wanted to make the movie. They made it themselves for a very small amount of money, and it lost even more money.
Did it.
Yeah, it was not a big hit. I mean, I'd never heard of it, so it couldn't have been a big hit anyway. But it was not not a great success. Pretty bad failure.
And what else?
That's all. I just had some thoughts on the movie, but I think I've said pretty much all of them. Do you think he was the problem, or do you think the drugs were the problem?
Both, I guess. You think it has to be one or the other?
No, I guess not. I guess it could be both. It just seems like they made him such a good guy that they tried to show that the drugs were more of the problem than his need for, I guess, to show his wife that he deserves her.
Yeah.
Because I think that was one of the other things that they were hinting at in the movie, but they didn't really do a good enough job showing his lack of confidence that he should have this beautiful, talented wife.
They did show that, or they didn't show that?
I don't think they did it enough. I
Okay.
don't think they got into his psychology enough of why he needed to spend all this money. Like he would have been probably would have been fine when that loophole thing closed, and he wouldn't have had much money coming in if he wasn't spending money on planes and nightclubs and shit.
So you're saying they didn't show you that he was doing that to because he wasn't confident enough about why his wife loved him, or they did show that?
They didn't show it enough. I think you should have, I think they should have made it more that you wonder what the real problem is. Is it his perspective and his inadequacies, or was it the drugs?
What do you think?
I think they showed that it was the drugs, but I bet if you read the book, it would probably be a little bit more balanced. Obviously, because I'm sure it's longer than the movie, and there's more explanation and more you get a little bit more into the characters and into what they're thinking and what they're doing, and maybe their backstory a little bit more.
Well, I don't know. I think it's he could have stopped the drugs at any point, and there was plenty of opportunities where he'd hit rock bottom, but he decided to keep doing drugs. That was the one thing that he decided to keep doing. I mean, how could you fault the drugs if it's him deciding to keep doing them?
Well, but drugs are addictive. Like, you don't just decide to stop drugs.
I think that's what you do. That's exactly what you have to do.
I think you usually have to come, if you're really hooked, you have to come to some realization, like, which is usually, like you said, hitting bottom. But he never hit bottom enough, apparently.
Or he never decided to quit doing them.
Yeah.
I think all of that aside, you have to be the one to decide to change something. You can't have
Yes.
a God. God doesn't come in and decide for you.
No, but usually you have to have a really compelling reason not to do it.
Wouldn't it be beating your wife to almost death? Wouldn't that be like, okay? Or the fact that he's lost all of his money and he's like, I just need one big deal to get me out of this. And instead of,
Yeah.
he gets the deal. The deal
Yeah.
happens. The deal's done. And he's like, well, I'll just keep doing coke throughout this meeting
Yeah.
to shore up the paperwork. I'll just keep doing as much drugs as possible. This is all him making these
Yeah.
decisions.
Well, yeah, I give people a little bit more credit that it's very hard to stop doing these things.
Yeah, it's hard, but still the person has to be the one to decide.
Yeah, they do. But like you said, like when he beat his wife, but then she forgave him. So then he didn't have a reason to stop the drugs because she didn't create that reason. She made the mistake of staying with him and not
Yeah.
giving him that reason to quit. She gave him an excuse to keep doing it.
I was thinking after the last time that he beat her.
What do you mean the last time?
The last time he beat her and she was in the hospital.
Oh,
He's
yeah.
still
That
doing the
was
drugs
awful. Yeah.
after that.
Yeah. Yeah,
So
that
even
was pretty
that,
awful.
she gave him a good enough reason. She left him. And he's like,
Yeah.
well, I'm still going to keep doing drugs in this shitty apartment.
Yeah. I don't know. I think drugs are tough, man.
Yeah, I agree.
Cocaine's a hell of a drug.
Yeah. It's just you villainize the drugs and not the person. It's interesting.
I think we all want something to help us out in life. And sometimes you have either problems that need to be sorted out and you do it with drugs, or you start doing drugs like he did just to get a little boost, and then you keep doing it, and by the time you realize you're doing too much, it's very hard to stop. And it's very hard to make that decision to stop. You need outside forces to make that decision for you, almost like an
Ooh.
intervention or whatever.
So yeah, so it is the hand of God needs to come in. You need.
I said outside forces, like an intervention, not outside forces like a ghost.
So you think it's impossible for somebody to decide on their own, to control their own destiny? You
No,
think it has to be outside?
I think a lot of the times it is.
Yeah.
I think once you get addicted to drugs, that's what addiction is. You can't stop on your own, or else you would.
Oh, well, I think a lot of people do stop on their own. And even if the
Who?
stopping is James Watt, he stopped on his own. He was totally a fucking crackhead and he stopped one day.
He was totally a crackhead.
I don't know of a person's name, but I'm even the person that decides to go and get help, they've made the decision to go and get help. Even
Yeah.
if they admit, I can't do this on my own, I got to go get help. That's still that person. Was the one that decided I need the help. I got to go get help from other people to
Yeah.
figure out how to do this. I can't figure it out on my own. It's still the individual person. I don't
Yeah.
know. You hear too many success stories about, well, they put handcuffs on him and now he's all clean because they took him to jail one day and he didn't want to stop doing them, but
Right.
because they locked him up, now he's all clean and his life's turned around.
I don't agree that, or I don't think that incarceration usually stops you from doing drugs. You're right. But maybe that coupled with counseling and instead of being sent to jail, maybe you're sent to a treatment program that may stop you.
But you can't force the treatment on somebody. The person has to say, I want to change. I want to change
Well,
myself.
maybe when they get arrested and they're given a choice, then they choose the treatment because they want the treatment.
And still them making that choice. Oh yeah.
I'm just saying it's complicated.
It is complicated, but it is sounds like you're leaning more towards the drugs are the thing, the bad thing. And if we eliminated the
No.
drugs from society, everything would be great.
Not at all.
No?
No.
What do you
You'd still
th
have the same problems, and you'd still probably try and do things to solve those problems, and some of them may be healthy things and some of them may be unhealthy things. Like some people exercise too much because they have mental problems, or they diet too much, or they eat too much, or whatever it is, legal things.
Yeah,
Anyway.
no, I agree. Get rid of exercise. Cut it out of this society.
Get rid of food.
Yeah. Okay, let's do something. Wrap it up or
All
something.
right, let's get some movies for next week. How about, have you seen Standoff at Sparrow Creek?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's a good one. I haven't watched it, but I hear it's good.
Okay.
And Thelma and Louise.
Sure.
All right, let's do that.
All right. Happy Easter. Goodbye.
Happy Easter and also goodbye.